Hey everyone, Amy here, and the title came to me this morning, The End of the Yellow Brick Road. And, you know, a lot of us grew up watching The Wizard of Oz and Dorothy and Judy Garland playing the role. And there's so many word pictures and analogies in that movie. And, you know, when we think about coming to the end of our own yellow brick road in our life, you know, we're bought into the American dream of, oh, when I get to the yellow brick road or get to the end of the rainbow or the end of this and the end of that, I'll arrive. And really, when you step back, and for all of those that are arriving at the end of their yellow brick roads of fantasy and daydreams and ideas and beliefs, we come to the end and we have a realization of a self-realization. We have a moment of facing our fears. And you look at the, you know, the scarecrow, the tin man, and the lion. They were all battling with these deficiencies and beliefs they had about themselves. And they're all coming to their own yellow brick road, having to face their fears and make the exchange. You know, the tin man says, I do have a heart, you know, and the scarecrow faces his fears, and the lion faces his cowardness. And it's the most intense time, I think, in your life when you're coming to the end of your yellow brick road of your search for answers, your search for significance, you're led, you know, going by what other people say and getting off track and then coming back to your path and just facing the hardcore fears and truths and not giving up at the same time, right? To have understanding and to seek what you know inside is ready to be unveiled to you. You come to this appointed time of revealing. But oftentimes, that revealing is something we never saw coming. And just like in The Wizard of Oz, they had an image of who the great Oz was, and almighty and all powerful, and yet was causing so much fear, you know, and they're trying to find their answers in a system. And the system got exposed in the end as the childlikeness of little Toto pulls the curtain, exposing that it's just a man behind the curtain. It's just a man behind the big dominating voice projecting his programs and images. And that can be in all the things we've been caught up in the big, powerful voice of authority figure or father figure or a leader or generational programmed ways of thinking or shame, or just different belief systems we've been caught up in when we come to the end of our yellow brick road of thinking that we've arrived and that we're going to find the solution and find the answer, only to have the things that we were reaching for apart from God to be exposed, and apart from our true eternal beings of who we really are. We so often forget that we are eternal spirits, that we're always with God, a part of Him. He's the Father of lights, when we are the lights within Him, sent down on earth, having this earthly experience in a body. But we're not our bodies. We all know that, because the moment we pass away, our body is what dies, not our spirit. And so we've always been alive in Him. We're just down here in a created body having an experience. But we get so caught up, and maybe that's part of the, you know, in this big part of the awakening is waking up to why we're here. We get bought into this trajectory of go live your dreams, run hard, work hard, go fulfill this and do that. And yes, I really believe we are sent here with a mission, but it's a heavenly mission with eternal value. And that's the deciphering line a lot of times. What are we doing? Are we doing it for ourselves? Does it have eternal value? And really having the Lord sift those things out of us, you know, and that's all a part of coming at the end of our own yellow brick roads, is to have the truth revealed. within us, the truth revealed of who God really is, who we really are, what the programs are, what the fears are that have been driving us. You know, so much to look at. And, you know, the quote came up to me this morning too as well of Jim Carrey, and I know it's Jim Carrey, but he had such a powerful statement of how he said, I wish that all would, let me see if I can pull it up here. It says, hold on here, because I want to get the words right, but said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. And how true is that? You hear so many people that have made millions and become billionaires, or they've done everything, lived their dreams, and they hit this crossover point. They've come to the end of their yellow brick road, the golden path, the golden ticket. You know, all the big, enormous visions and illusions and things that they've accomplished. But then what? Now they're at a choice. Okay, well, I guess they're really, yeah, I got my pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but now what? Why do I not feel fully satisfied? I have all the answers I always wanted, but now I'm finding deeper questions arising within me that I can't find here in all the things I've acquired. And you begin, it really is, it's the awakening moment of stripping aside the illusions of things that have shown us a different picture of who we really are. We've, you know, the masks, the images, the things we build around us to give us a feeling of security and confidence. But what happens when all those things are removed completely? Can you still feel secure? Can you still feel confident? Do you feel so at rest and alignment in who you are in God and oneness? Or have you deceptively thought you were safe and secure in God, but in reality, you were putting all that into things? And just as easily, we can put that same faith and trust into our callings and destinies. And this is where the illusion gets really, really potent, because it's a good thing that we're running after. It's a good thing that we're trying to accomplish and do for God and answer the call and all of this stuff. But how do we really do that if we only see in part and we only know what we know in the moment? And how do we know ultimately what that call is? And this is where the dividing line comes in, the dividing of the soul and the flesh, of the spirit and the flesh. And the sons of God are led by the Spirit. There becomes a path that's overlaid an ancient path and is the walk and the path of the Spirit. And again, this becomes a crossroad in your life when you come to the end of your own ideas of your golden brick road and your own solutions, your own answers, reaching for a source outside of yourself, reaching for your dreams and destinies to be your fulfillment. When it's God alone and you and Him and something that's eternal value, and you arrive at that point and it's either all taken away or you surrender it because you know it's not the way. Yeah, just some things for thought for sure here. So maybe some of you are still on the golden brick road and you're excited, you're chasing the pursuits, you're trying to find fulfillment and happiness, and you believe it's on the other side. You believe if you can just get there and arrive, you'll have a better life. But let's say you do. And now what? If the drive has been the thing that needed to be surrendered, and so now you have everything you ever wanted, and you're still unfulfilled, you're still unsatisfied, and you still need something to pursue. And so it begins to be a rat race, the hamster wheel of never enough, right? And that's the role of the ego of when we edge God out. It's never enough because there's only one who can fill that spot, and that's Him. And so we come to the end. We come to the end of our efforts, and we enter this life of surrender to where we have need of nothing. Like Paul said, I have need of nothing, whether I'm in the, you know, highest of heights and the palaces and I have the best of the best food and all these things, or I'm in the lowest of lows. I've learned the grace of being content in all things. And that is the hidden journey. That is the spiritual path to where we're not moving now out of reason and logic and needs and wants and desires and illusions and programs. We're not living on that surface place, but we've foregone it for the life of the Spirit. For the sons of God are led by the Spirit. And it may look crazy to the world, and all reason and logic is shouting from your friends and your family members saying, go this way. But yet you hear a voice behind you saying, go left. And you have a choice in that moment. Do you continue on the path you're on of, you know, doing what you've always done, kind of lowering who you are to just give in to the fear of man? Or do you engage the unseen path that is only seen by your Spirit? It's all part of the awakening. You have to have spiritual eyes to see the path. It's what you're awakening to. And it's the path of peace, because you have let go of desires and wants only to trust that God Himself knows exactly what you desire and want and wants to give you more than you ever could think, hope, or dream or want. But you must let Him be the one to bring it to you. And it becomes the trust walk. And it's an amazing journey, and everything gets exposed of what we've been trusting in instead of Him. And you know, the Lord said, delight in me and I'll give you the desires of your heart. But why are we so afraid to let those desires go? Why do we have a death grip on them? Why are we in fear of fight or flight, you know, with our fists tight around them, saying, how can I let this go? If I don't let it go, it won't happen. I won't feel fulfilled. I've worked so hard for this. And we've found our identity. And what happens? Well, let's say if the Lord lets you have it, you're going to feel a sense of complete void and emptiness when you finally do. Or you'll be in such survival when you finally have it, you're now surviving to keep it. And so when you can come to the place of true contentment, of letting it all go on the path of surrender, and you can take it or leave it, then God can safely bring it to you, and then He can safely take it from you when it's time. And it's all for a deeper cause. It's all for your spiritual growth. It's for your expanding. It's for your maturity. And this morning, the Lord was showing me of an image of how if we will live on this path of surrender, of growth and maturity, that it's like a apple tree, you know, in its early years. It yields a couple apples, or it yields its fruit, but then it has to release it. It has to let it go. It has to let everything go for the next season that it's coming into winter, and allowing its roots go down deep. And then the next season comes up and it has more apples than it had the prior season. But even that season, it has to release it when the time is right and come into the next year. And year after year after year, it has to do the prosper, release, prosper, release, prosper, release. And we so often get focused on holding on to the prosperity, or holding on to the promise, or holding on to the fruit of the thing, and trying to store it. It's kind of like the Israelites having to learn this lesson, right? You can only have manna for the day. If you try to hold on to it the next day, you're going to have maggots. It's going to rot, because it's all a trust factor, right? It's all about growth and learning to journey and walk with the Lord. And so, you know, if we're willing to let go and not hold on, then we receive the next growth spurt of maturity and wisdom and expansion. And so learning the ebbs and flows in that release and allowing for the expansion is so key. And unless we become stagnant, and what did Jesus say to a branch that wasn't producing fruit? To cut it off. He had to cut it off, or it was cursed, you know, if it wasn't going to bear fruit anymore. And trust, because I think you can feel it in your life. You almost feel like you can come under this curse, so to speak, or a limitation or a ceiling, if we're not willing to let go and we're trying to hold on to things in our own strength. And you know, with the Lord, He's so good, He's never going to ask for something or ask you to release something that He's not going to give you so much better. It's the death to our reason and logic. It's the death to us seeing in part. It's allowing a new perspective to come up higher and to realize again, we're eternal beings. What He's after is our growth in Him, learning and growing and maturing as our soul and our spirit, more than all the things we're building on earth, because we all know at the end of this thing, we can't take it with us. Only things that matter are that of eternal value. Like the Lord said, store up your treasure in heaven, where neither moths nor rust can corrode it. And, you know, John and I have been in the senior living property management career for quite a few years, and we have seen all these seniors where they have to sell off all their things that they've had, or they give it away, and they've traveled the world. They've had some of the most incredible ornaments and pictures and trinkets and nice quality furniture and all these things, but they can't take it with them. Even when they move into like a retirement community, they're usually moving down into a one bedroom or a studio, and they just usually end up taking what they have need of. And most of them, it's just their recliner chair or their TV or just a few things here and there. And you see the ones that try to fit everything in their apartment, and it is overloaded. See, they've still had a hard time letting go because they've been attached to it. They've got memories attached to it. And but again, we can't take these things with us. So what is life really about? What is holding the eternal value here? And what are our expectations? And what is God saying? What is He asking of you right now in your season? Say you're coming to the end of your, you know, the yellow brick road. And the path is meant to reveal the gold within you. There's dross. There's things that are getting removed. There's the illusions. There's the beliefs. There are things we've put our hands into, the things we've put our trust in. And God is calling so many of us, if not all of us, to come up higher and to cross over and to just let go. Let go of the things that we've put our trust in. Let go of the careers and that we've put our trust in and our, you know, ways of doing things, because we all know it hasn't been working and we can't all hold it together much longer. And God's asking, you know, He has His hand out to Peter on the boat. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And we've all heard Him say that to us countless times. And here's the thing. Remember, we only know what we know. If we're looking at the map of reason and logic says you can't get out of the boat and walk on water. But if you'll close your eyes and you'll look in the spirit and you'll see the true map, the true path the Lord has charted for you, you'll see that you can walk on water. And it's already been done, and you're stepping into it. And Jesus is the all-knowing one who has shifted things with quantum physics and has known about quantum physics and how to shape molecules and all these different things. And by faith, you know, creating the reality where Peter could look at Him and the Lord released his faith for him to walk on the water. And so again, we can look at ourselves and try to plan our lives out 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now and think we have it all figured out, but we only see in part. And God is calling us to look to Him, to the one who knows it all. And remember, this whole thing is about faith and grace, not what we can do in our own strength, not what we can figure out in our minds and our logic, but it's being led with childlikeness and putting the focus back on His ability, not our ability, His faith, not even our faith, His goodness, His grace, His path that's far above our ideas. So just want to encourage you to be willing to do that trust fall into His arms and know that He has you. He has you in this time of uncertainty. He has you as you're coming to this waking up from your wants and your needs and your desires and your expectations and judgments of what you thought your life would look like and where you thought your life would be. And to just surrender it all and just be right here, right now, living in this moment, in the now, completely free of wants, completely free of desires, completely free of trying to figure it out. And just let Him live through you. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Jesus did nothing of His own initiative. He only did what He saw His Father do. That makes life so, so much easier. And He always has a bigger, grander, better plan than we could ever figure out. So why rob yourself? If anything, we're robbing ourselves from the ultimate. So surrender. End your efforts. And enjoy the life you're truly meant to live in Him. Take care.